How many kids do you have? You know, what they all, it's always a numbers game.
Yep.
It's a pride thing.
Yep.
And the pastor wants to make sure that there are this many young people in his congregation, and if his youth pastor doesn't have that number, then he must be failing. Are we really looking for the right results?
Yeah, not at all. Those aren't the right metrics. You know, it's always encouraging, yes, when you can get greater numbers of people out. You know, the joke is among pastors and youth pastors, too, that, you know, when you go to a conference, for every 100 miles away it is from your church grows by, like, 50 people.
Evangelistically speaking.
Sure, sure. Because that's impressive to other people.
Oh, yeah.
That's who gets the book contracts. That's who gets the conference.
Well, it's like the one church that I spoke at. They told me they had 9,600 people there that were members, and I went there to speak on a very special day, and they only had about 1,500. I said, Pastor, where are the rest of them? Well, they were in the grave.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I really appreciate your coming to join us here on the program, Drew.
Oh, I've enjoyed it, too. Thank you so much.
Friend, get a copy of his book, Generation X Christian, Why Young Adults Are Leaving the Faith and How to Bring Them Back. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. We really need your help right now. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. He's not doing it. And get the book on our website, saveus.org, where you can listen to this program any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world. Pray for our young people, and let's develop some holy boldness with regard to them. Remember, eternal destiny is on the line. God bless you, and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Terry Melanson, and we're going to be talking about, of all things, the Illuminati. Now, what is the Illuminati? I mean, is this some sort of a crazy conspiracy that, you know, the right-wing fringe has dreamed up? No, the Illuminati is a historical organization. It existed during the time of the French Revolution. It was organized on May 1st, 1776, by a man named Adam Weishaupt, who was a Jesuit, or had been a Jesuit. He taught at a Jesuit school in Bavaria. And the whole idea of the Illuminati was here was going to be an organization that was going to overthrow the existing social order and destroy Christianity and establish sort of a perfect social order. And, of course, these ideas really had come from previous secret societies, but this was a very real secret society. Some of the most prominent people in Europe joined the organization. It infiltrated Masonry and was really beginning to have a tremendous influence until God intervened, and there was a writer who was carrying some secret papers for the Illuminati, and of all things, his horse was hit, and he was hit by a lightning bolt, and they were both killed. And when the police went through the saddlebags, they found the papers for the Illuminati, and so the Bavarian government simply outlined the organization. But I'm going to let Terry tell the story, because he's done a lot of work on this. Thank you very much for being with us, Terry.
Well, glad you're having me on.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what you have found about the Illuminati? How long have you been studying it?
Oh, probably about 15 years, I guess. Basically just found, they used to talk about them in books, like maybe a few pages at most. Sometimes there was maybe a chapter on it. And but basically for 200 years, there hasn't been like a monograph on the Bavarian Illuminati in the English language.
Well, of course, we originally had Dr. Robinson's book. He was a professor in Scotland, Edinburgh, I think, and then Abbé Barrel wrote a treatise on it in the late 1790s. Certainly when my father was told probably about 100 years ago, so probably about 1910, 1915, my grandfather told my father about the Illuminati. My grandfather was a farmer, but people back 100 years ago knew about the Illuminati, but because of the degree of the control over the educational process and over the media and everything else and publishing here in America, because one of the first things that they said is we're going to control publishing, and as a result, why there are very few books about there in the Illuminati, and if a book mentions it, why it doesn't get published, or if it does, it gets suppressed. So what did you find out as you began studying this 15 years ago?
Well, I was just, I became aware of it maybe about 15 years ago, reading books, like conspiratorial books and stuff, maybe from John Birch Society and Nesta Webster and books like that on the Masons. But for the last 5 years, I was working on this particular book I wrote for Trine Day. And so I just wanted to get back to the original writings, trying to get as much academic material as I could, trying to consolidate all the lists that had accrued over the years. Like, here in the English language, we probably know about maybe 80 or so from Robinson and Barrel's book. So after all this time, people didn't even know that there was close to 1,000 members already identified by German scholars and people who have gotten their PhDs in history and stuff. So I basically just wanted to consolidate everything we knew about it.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Terry Melanson. He's simply talking about how he set out ready to consolidate all the knowledge that we had about this this secret society. And, of course, the question is, is it still around today? Well, we know it infiltrated Masonry. We know that certainly it played an important part in the French Revolution. But basically, why don't you pick up the story? So you basically were able to catalog the names of a lot of people who were involved in the secret society, and then what?
Well, then once you get the list, you can go back through history and try to work out what has already been written about them in the history books. So basically, I was presented with maybe about 500 to 600 brand new names that nobody in the English language really had even known that they were Illuminati. So, I tried to do bios on them and tried to establish the connections they had during their membership in the Illuminati and after the supposed suppression of it in 1787. So along them lines, you can rewrite history, I suppose you can say, because there's all these new members and what they were up to after the supposed abolishment of the order. It has a bearing on what actually occurred in history.
Well, Albert, do you think that it disappeared, or do you think it went underground? Do you think it went into Masonry? And if it's in Masonry, is it still there? Do we have any way of knowing?
Well, they did infiltrate Masonry. We know that for sure. They even actually established lodges, and there might be even a few of them lodges they established that are still operating today. But, so they did go underground. We don't really hear any of them, we don't hear them, after the suppression, they just basically, there was a diaspora. So some people went into reading societies, some people went in the Jacobin clubs in France, and various conspiracies were continuing on in the manner that they're planning on doing. So the society just basically dissolved. And they scattered the remnants abroad.
But, of course, the ideas that basically were seminal to the Illuminati still exist, don't they? In other words, this whole idea of overthrowing the existing social order and destroying Christianity or undermining the Catholic Church, isn't there still this same movement is going on today? Why would that be if there's no Illuminati?
Well, the same ideology, basically, the elitist societies.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to bring some more stations back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Terry has studied the Illuminati and just pointed out, of course, that after it was exposed and suppressed by the Bavarian government, the people joined the Masonic Order. Some of them joined the Masonic Order. Some of them joined reading groups, which were other little conspiratorial groups. But, of course, the idea that had laid out by the Illuminati still exists today. Is it in secret groups? Well, nobody's come forward. There are a few people who've come forward and claim they were a part of these secret groups and that they still exist today. We don't know whether that's true. But we do know that the ideas that were put forward by the Illuminati, that idea of overthrowing the existing structure of society, this idea of bringing about a world government, of undermining Christianity and the Catholic Church, why, of course, these ideas are still prevalent today. And they're certainly being pursued from all points of view. And, of course, the question is, if the Illuminati doesn't exist, or at least a similar organization exists, or similar organizations exist, why is the world in such turmoil today? Why is there an organized effort to destroy Christianity? Why was it the Masonic judges on the United States Supreme Court shook God and prayer out of our schools? Certainly, what was the Illuminati's influence on Freemason? We know they were there. So what have you learned in your study, Terry?
Well, basically, what I tried to do, I tried to go back to the actual, what we know in history as the Bavarian Illuminati. So basically, I just tried to get as much facts as I could assemble, and so basically, there was some encroachments into the French Revolution. There was a trip that was taken by the second head of the Illuminati called Johann Bode. So he went to Paris in 1787. There was a Masonic conference in Paris in 1787. And he went there, and for all these years, there was always speculation, what did he do? Did he recruit any people? You know, did he set some plans in motion? Because this was just 2 years before the French Revolution. So nobody knew about it. It was a mystery for like 200 years. And then finally in 1995, his actual diary that he took on the trip was discovered again in an archive in Europe somewhere. And so it was published by the German Illuminati expert Hermann Schuchler. So he published that in 1995, I think it was. So finally now we can read his actual words of what he was doing in France at the time. And it turns out that he actually was meeting with some high-level Grand Orient Masons. And a few of them, you know, had some dealings with some revolutionaries during the time, but they weren't revolutionaries per se. But what they did was they wanted to set up a secret lodge, and they called it the Philadelphia. And that's what they named the lodge, and it was secret. Nobody knew about it, and we still don't have any of the details of what they were involved with. But there was a few letters that some people were involved with it later on. We discovered in archives that they were being accused of inciting the actual revolution itself, and they were named the Philadelphia from the Yami Reini Lodge in Paris. So that's it kind of bolsters the conspiracy theories that Robinson and Boreal had all these years, because he was really there, and his sole purpose was there to recruit, see if he could recruit any members from France into the Illuminati.
This was actually after the Illuminati was long since dispersed. This was 1887. That's because the French Revolution was in 1789. And of course, if you are you acquainted with the writings of James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress, his book Fire in the Minds of Men?
Oh yes, of course. I utilize it extensively in the book.
Right, and Chris, I think this is probably one of the most scholarly books we have going into the background, and he's not afraid. I mean, here's a man, because he wrote the book in 1980 himself, but, you know, at that time, why he talked about these things, he doesn't talk about them now, because you're not supposed to, and if you want to hold a high position in government service, you do not talk about the secret societies. And so Dr. Billing doesn't publicly discuss it today, but his book stands there, Fire in the Minds of Men, talking about the influence of the Jacobins, and of the Freemasons and of the Illuminati there at the time of the French Revolution was basically, it was totally designed to destroy existing society. And of course, they killed the king, and they killed Marie Antoinette, and they killed, I mean, the figures vary, but some people say as many as 300,000 people were killed. How many people do you think were killed during the French Revolution?
Well, I'm not sure about the figures. I've heard that before, 300,000. They were slaughtering priests, they were burning down churches, and they would repurpose the churches for their own particular secular religion they were trying to impose upon the people. There was one in particular, it was called Theophilanthropy, and there was one member of the Illuminati, this second head of the Illuminati, when he went to Paris, he actually initiated one of the founders of that movement, and that movement spread in Thomas Paine. He was involved with it too, Theophilanthropy, and he exported it back to the United States. And when John Wood, you heard about the book that he wrote, I think you were selling it at your site at one time.
What is the name of the book?
John Wood, The Columbian Illuminati.
No, I really have never carried that. It sounds very interesting, though. What we know about the Columbian Illuminati? Well, I'm sorry. That is the basically, it's a sort of a pamphlet we got. It's maybe half a dozen pages or a dozen pages that we actually got from the Jeffersonian collection there at the Library of Congress. Yes, this was basically it was written about 1804, and it was a treatise on the Columbian branch of the Illuminati, a branch of the Illuminati that existed in upstate New York, you know, in the early 1800s. So the Illuminati was actually here, but we can't let the public know that, because if it was there then, I mean, maybe they're still suppressing their existence, and the ideas are still there, whether we call it the Columbian Illuminati, whether we call it, you know, the establishment of the ruling elite or the power elite. It is the same idea that drives everything today, this idea of using America as the base and using our financial and military power to bring about this one world government, which is why we have troops stationed in 130 nations today, 720 foreign military bases. Why do we have all that? China can't be the enemy. We're building them up. Russia can't be the enemy. We drilled all their oil and gas wells. I mean, why do we have all those bases? It's all about the world government.
Well, that was the exact same concept that Adam Weishaupt was trying to impose in Bavaria, first of all, and, you know, he wanted to get rid of all forms of government, get back to the original intention of mankind, back to the golden age, he was saying, and bring us back to the primitive state, really. So basically, it was like a technocratic elite wanting to rule over everybody else.
It sure was, and basically they had people like Frederick the Great. I mean, he was the emperor of Germany at the time. He was a member of that, and so many key people that... Now, have you actually got this put together in a book? Is your book available?
Yeah, it's Perfectibilis, the 18th century order, the 18th century Bavarian order of the Illuminati, Perfectibilis.
And how long has the book been out?
Been out since early 2009.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, the thing is that how many people are really interested in the Illuminati? I'm interested in it. You're interested in it. Do you think the average individual even has any idea that the part that these ideas play in what's going on today?
Well, people are probably learning more about it as they go on the internet and stuff and start learning about. Like, I think it's a pretty good learning tool if you go on the internet, because you start learning things that you weren't told about back when you're learning the official history of the official dome of history back in school, you know. People can start researching things for themselves.
I think that what's so important is people understand that our educational system has been designed not to educate, but to indoctrinate and to simply delete from our reality so much of the true history of these secret organizations that have been around, always working behind the scenes, but always working towards the same goal, and that is not only the destruction of the existing social order, but the destruction of Christianity, because, of course, these people hate Christianity, whether it be, you know, Protestant or the Catholic Church. They hate them both.
Well, sure, yeah. That's been an ongoing plan from the very beginning.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to talk to Terry, ask him a question. He studied this very hard and written a book about it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. When you talk to people about the Illuminati, do most people you've encountered have any concept that this is real, that this organization existed, and that certainly this organization, at least the ideas and concepts of this, exist today, and that actually it existed here in the United States in the form of the Colombian Illuminati?
I think people are starting to learn more about it as, you know, as the information is more dispersed over the internet, I suppose. But there's a concept that people have, like, that they still exist. They existed back then, but there's still, like, a continuous lineage that has continued.
And this is what people have to understand, that this
it's
really
like an idea. It's not an organizational network that has been perpetuated throughout the ages from one person to the next, and then when they die, they get it's like an idea.
Right, of course it goes back. You can find these ideas in the Kabbalah, you can find them among the Gnostics' writings, you can find them among the Templars, among the Rosicrucians, but they were the 1400s. In fact, we find this in Masonic writings, certainly in the writings of the Illuminati. And of course they're carried forward today. And these organizations dedicated to world government, those people who have destroyed the American economy. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Alex. We have Alex calling us. Hi, how are you? Whereabouts, what part of the country are you in?
I'm sorry?
What part of the country are you in, Alex?
I'm in New York State.
All right, fine. Well, it's not too...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And basically the whole idea of the Illuminati was to perfect oneself. Would that be a fairly good idea? Or perfect oneself or perfect society?
Pardon?
Which would it be, that we're going to perfect themselves or were they going to perfect society?
Yeah, they would start on themselves at first. They would they were recommended certain reading material. Thereafter, and they'd be indoctrinated in the sort of views they were supposed to hold. And through the enlightenment of each and every member, once they started infiltrating into the government, then they thought that they could perfect society from within and institute basically a utopian society.
And we can basically see the same influence today. There are these people who really want to transform the world. What they want to do is raise the living standards all throughout the world, and they've done an amazing job. Living standards are really rising very rapidly in India and in China. In fact, I was just reading this evening where Kentucky Fried Chicken is going to actually open a number of Kentucky Fried Chicken stores in Africa, because there's a growing middle class and more people there. Living standards are rising. This is part of a planned program which has really been carried out by the globalists here in America. Of course, going along with that, as you raise living standards throughout the world, you've got to lower living standards here. And that's what this whole recession is about. That's why they created the recession, but they can't let the American people know that we do have a ruling elite. They have a plan for us, and that is to lower living standards, take us into a condition of austerity, and suddenly destroy the life savings of most of the people. But why should we have that when there's so many people penniless throughout the world? Why shouldn't we raise their living standards? And that's exactly what the ruling elite have done. But you go right ahead, Terry. How do you transform these ideas for the Illuminati into what's going on today, or can you?
Well, basically, the platform that the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Group, is basically the same as what Adam Weishaupt was teaching his initiates, that basically we had to get rid of countries, get rid of the ruling establishment as it was in the day, and institute like a worldwide government. But they were thinking that they were illuminated. They were the enlightened ones, so they had the right to rule over others. So that's why it's like a technocracy, really.
Well, that's exactly what David Rockefeller told a friend of mine. He said, some men are born to rule, but most men are born to be ruled. And that's people, common people like you and I. But these people, of course, have recruited an elite, and they're the ones who control the great corporations and the banks and the media and hold the key positions in government. But there's only a small number of them. They know exactly what they're doing, and, of course, they viciously attack anybody who talks about the Trilateral Commission. Mentions that the Trilateral Commission was birthed by the Council on Foreign Relations, which was actually a front for a secret society that was created in 1921 by the so-called Round Table Group. It was the front for the Cecil Rhodes, created in 1891, and then 30 years later, 40 years later, why, of course, the Round Table Group created the Council on Foreign Relations, which really was the invisible government until 1973, when the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, a man named David Rockefeller, organized the Trilateral Commission, which is, for all intents and purposes, the secret government of the world today. Well, Sidney, Terry, you know, as we tell people this, an awful lot of them don't want to believe it, do they?
I think they're coming around to it more nowadays.
How about up there in Canada, you know, where basically, of course, in New Brunswick, there are an awful lot of good people up there, the same heritage as the people here in the United States, except they have a little funny accent other than that.
But
we have an awful lot of listeners up in Canada who listen to our shortwave programs, and I guess they're listening tonight. Well, if you have a question or comment, Terry certainly is the expert on the Illuminati. He's written all these books recently, and certainly these classic books. We carry the writings of Professor Robinson, and I try to carry the writings of Abbey Burrell. We usually sold out of them. I don't think we have any right now, but those are the two classic books. If you have a question or comment, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 464-8295 right here on the central coast of California. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and Terry, certainly, well, basically, is there any, besides that treatise that we actually offered on the Clintonian Illuminati, are there any other writings that would suggest that there were extensions of the Illuminati into the United States? Are you there, Terry?
Hello.
Yes, I was just asking, so other than the treatise that we carry, it's called the Clintonian Illuminati. And we got that from the Jefferson Collection, and I will tell you, we had to, Dr. Cuddy really got it. I put up the money for it, but they certainly weren't very anxious to give it to us, but we were able to get that. And other than that, talking about the influence of the Illuminati here in the United States, do we have any other evidence that you know of, reliable evidence, that the Illuminati actually existed here in this country?
According to my criteria of evidence, there probably is not. I tried to trace the members, the people that we know were actual members, and I tried to trace them. Okay, they were members of the Illuminati in Europe, and so I tried to trace if any of them at all had it gone across the Atlantic and tried to, you know, what they were doing over here, you know. So there's probably maybe two at the most who actually went over to America after they became members of the Illuminati. There's one in particular. He was a banker. I'm still researching him right now. His name was Caspar Schweizer, and he was initiated into the Illuminati in 1785. And after that, he set up a banking.
Hold that thought. Hold that. Okay. Terry is just telling us about one gentleman who is a member of the Illuminati, had been indoctrinated in 1885. Now remember, it supposedly was destroyed in these late 1700s. 1780, somewhere around there. But of course, here's 1785. Somebody's indoctrinated, and this banker comes to the United States. We'll get more into that in just a moment. But before we do, Terry, I want you to get out your website. Tell people how they can get a copy of your book.
Okay, you can go to trineday.com, TRINEDAY.com. Or you can go to Amazon, just type in Perfectibilist by Terry Melanson, and you can basically get it on any online dealer.
All right, fine. So that's, and how do you pronounce the title again, Perfectibilist?
Yep.
And that was, of course, what it was all about. It was perfecting yourself.
Yeah, trying to become a god man, I guess.
Right. Now, basically, you were talking then about this gentleman who came to America, and he was a banker, and he was actually, he was a member of the Illuminati. He came here, when was that, about 1790? Do we know when he came?
Yeah, he came about 1795, I think, after the Great Terror in France.
All right. Now, what do we know then about him? Do we know anything about what he did when he was here?
Well, we know an actual lot, actually. He was initiated into the Illuminati in Zurich, Switzerland, in 1785. He was from the same branch as Pestalozzi, the educator. And so he was enraptured by the philosophies of the Illuminati, and he started donating all kinds of money to the cause. And so for the first couple of years, that's the way it went. He was donating money to the cause, and under the pretenses that they were going to give money to the poor and stuff. So he didn't really know what the ultimate goals of the Illuminati were. But anyways, once the French Revolution, actually before the French Revolution, in 1786, he moved to Paris, and he established a banking house, and he started dabbling in the stock market and trying to manipulate the stock market and stuff. But he was still giving money back to his society, the Illuminati Society. And then he joined the Jacobin Club. And he was friends with Mirabeau, basically the prophet of the French Revolution. And from there, he established his own circle within the Jacobin Club. And they're all coming there, discussing the constitution that they were going to implement. And throughout all the turbulence during the French Revolution, out from the other side, he remained unscathed. And after that, about a few years later, he was an official agent for the French government, and he went over to America. He landed in Boston Harbor, and he started establishing different banking outfits throughout all of America at the time. And so this is the part I'm trying to investigate right now. And I'm going to be writing an article on it pretty soon.
Well, now, what about, there were a couple of ministers who in America who talked against this. There was a fellow named Jedediah Morris. Or Morse, who actually wrote about, spoke out against the Illuminati. We do have a letter that Sidney George Washington had written, I think about 1798, saying that he knew the Illuminati was here in the United States, but he didn't think it had infiltrated the lodges at that time. And there was one other minister who actually, who had given a sermon back about that time.
Yeah,
do you remember what his name was?
I think it was Morris.
It could have been. It could have been this Jedediah Morris. But anyway, of course, there were a number of people who talked about the danger of the Illuminati back there in the late 1700s, just about the time, just before 1800. And they were warning that it was here and that it was trying to infiltrate our society. Now, basically, the Jacobins were here, and they certainly had been infiltrated by the Illuminati.
Right, that's right.
And they were trying to actually create a revolution here. They were behind the Whiskey Rebellion, weren't they?
Yeah, well, they came over here. They established all kinds of democratic societies, as they called them, right? And, but basically he was talking about the doctrines, but he didn't actually specifically say the Illuminati actually were here and they actually instituted. So that's a point of contention that people would bring up when George Washington actually said that, right?
Right. Okay, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you'd like to read the treatise on the Clintonian Illuminati, and I don't think it's available from anybody but us unless somebody else has it.
Well, actually, there's a guy who actually scanned it and put it up for free on the Internet.
Well, that's fine. I certainly have no objection at all to that. We want to get the information out, and if you can get it on the Internet, fine. If not, you can get it from Radio Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
Although he should have paid me for because I had put out a fair amount of money to the Librarian of Congress, but that's all right. The major thing is we want people to understand that this is not a figment of imagination. It's really very real.
Well, sure.
And I think each of us contributes a little information. I mean, certainly I hope. I probably contributed very little, but certainly
a
lot of
people... It's amazing how it trickles in all these years, right?
And
amazing how people are still interested in it.
Well, I think it's vitally important because, of course, we see these covert organizations that exist today. What most people and what nobody will ever tell anybody is that the Council on Foreign Relations, they put on press conferences now, and they've opened an office there in Washington, D.C., and Hillary Clinton, you can even see her up on the Internet, on YouTube saying, I'm so glad that you opened a Council on Foreign Relations, opened an office here in New York City just down the street from the Capitol so I can go there for my directions. I don't have to go to New York to get directions. I couldn't believe she would make a statement of that sort, and yet, of course, here's the woman, the Secretary of State. Her husband was a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. When he left the White House, really, they were destitute financially. He's received almost $500 million in donations to the Clinton Foundation. I guess it's because he's such an honorable and nice human being. A man of great moral stature. Well, let's go to Steve, who's calling here, and he's calling from Kentucky. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
How are you hearing us in Kentucky? Are you hearing us over a radio station or Internet or shortwave?
WCVX in Covington, Kentucky.
Okay, great.
Formerly WTSJ, 1050 on your dial.
Okay.
I wanted to ask your guest. In about the last year and a half, I really become awakened about the secret societies that control our country, and you know the Illuminati front groups like the Council on Foreign Relations and whatnot, and what their goals really are and everything. And I've done a lot of research on this, and what I was curious about is about I've done a lot of research on the Rockefeller family, and I was wondering, I know that the Illuminati family stuff, they're really into their bloodlines and things like that. And I was just wondering, at what point did John D. Rockefeller join the Illuminati? I know that he didn't come from wealth, but I knew that his father was an occultist. And I was just wondering if he was born into the Illuminati or something that was inducted into later on after he got really wealthy.
All right, Terry, what are your thoughts on that?
Not really sure about the whole bloodline angle. You know, there's a lot of proof that they promote within their own ranks. But I'm not really sure if there's a continuous bloodline that has, throughout the ages, you could point to the people who say they're, the progeny of Jesus Christ bloodline himself, right?
Right.
The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail. There's basically people who believe that, but I'm not really sure.
I read somewhere on the Internet that back around maybe the 10th or 11th century, going back to like France, that the Rockefellers, their lineage could be traced back to like French and German royalty.
Steve, I think that there's a lot of information up on the internet you better be very careful of, because if you say it, you know, you've got to be able to prove it. And basically,
yeah.
I don't know. Basically, a John D. Rockefeller, the original one, was a very evil gentleman. He took advantage of a lot of people. They were behind the Ludlow Massacre there in Colorado.
Yeah.
You can look that up, and where they actually were killing women and children. Their thugs, their paid thugs were. But they accumulated massive amounts of wealth, and then they went into banking, and then they sort of joined forces with Morgan. Now, Morgan was deeply involved in the occult. He was involved with astrology. He was connected to the bankers over in Europe. He was also closely affiliated with Cecil Rhodes' secret society. Now, basically, it's pretty hard to actually tack this whole thing down and say that John Dee was a member of the Illuminati. I don't think he probably was. But I think he, somewhere along the line, began, of course, to become part of this movement for world government. And certainly we see David is one of the leaders of this whole movement today, having been appointed to the member of the board of directors of the Council on Foreign Relations in 1949. And he's been really leading this movement for world government almost ever since that time.
Yeah, he's as long as they have the same goals in mind, it doesn't really matter what sort of organization they're involved with, I guess. If they have the money to implement whatever they want to implement upon society, you know, detriment.
It was just curious. It's just like, you know, I've done a lot of research on this, and I've also listened to discovered your Dr. Stan's program here, which has been very helpful as well. And you know, like some of Alex Jones's films and others, Jim Mars's books and other things. I was just curious about at what point he became. An ultra elite person. I guess when he got wealthy, I was just wondering if he was born into the Illuminati.
I don't think there's any evidence of it. All we know, of course, really is that we find the Rockefellers playing a very important part in banking here in the 1930s. Certainly by the 1930s, they were one of the major banking firms here in the United States, and certainly by their control of oil, by their control of banking, by the control of pharmaceuticals, or by the control of many of the major corporations, they are certainly one of the dominant forces in America. And yet, of course, we always talk about old Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Ladies and gentlemen, those they're pikers compared to the Rockefellers.
Yeah.
But if you believe that, why, you've been reading Time magazine too long. Anything else?
Yeah, that pretty much covers it. Thanks for your time. And also, what's the name of his book about the Illuminati? I want to. What's your guest's name? I didn't get his name. I need his name in the book. I want to look into this.
His name is Terry Melanson, and Sydney, we have not carried the book, but I think we probably should. And if you want to get it, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll call you back. And because it's actually published by our good friend Chris Milligan at Trine Day, and certainly we try to get their books out far and wide. He's doing a great job, and we're grateful. We have a publisher for the first time now who will really get out these controversial books.
Right. Okay, what is the name of the book again?
Perfectibilis.
What's it called?
Terry?
Perfectibilis.
Perfect, but put an end on an "is" on the end. Perfectibilis.
Perfectibilis.
Okay,
great. Thanks a lot.
God bless, and thanks very much, and keep listening back there in Kentucky, right?
I've got some people listening to you, too.
Thanks so much. Okay, well, that's how we're getting the information out, and certainly it's great that we do have access to the Christian Religious Broadcasting Network here at this time of night. We're on 6 networks there, and, of course, we have the programs in Washington. We have shortwave. We have internet. We have certainly the satellite. We're reaching a lot of people, and I appreciate so much Terry being on with us. Well, if you're out there, if you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly there's a lot of great information on the internet. But you must understand that what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness is actually puts a lot of false information up there. So basically, we cannot document anything about John Rockefeller being part of the Illuminati. Whether he certainly had ties into the occult, we have no evidence of that. We do know, however, that J.P. Morgan did, and that Andrew Carnegie did, and that Henry Ford did. And so many of the people of great wealth, certainly the other great families, but certainly today we know that Stephen Rockefeller, who is David Rockefeller's nephew,
The Earth Charter.
Right, the Earth Charter. And then, of course, we know that Lawrence Rockefeller, he actually put up the money to publish Barbara Marx Hubbard's occult book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, where she calls for killing off a quarter of the world's population. She's talking about killing off the Christians, of course. And so you can begin to see these people, certainly Winthrop Rockefeller, David's brother, had the largest collection of pornography known to mankind. I mean, these are all rather wicked people. So in the modern-day Rockefellers, I certainly don't have much use for. And then, of course, David certainly is pushing behind this whole globalist movement today, is coordinating the entire movement.
He's the patriarch of the whole thing.
Right. And, of course, he's getting on. Henry Kissinger, I think, is taking over the reins of leadership there. But behind them, there may be others we don't even know about.
Yeah, probably.
And certainly the Rothschilds are involved in this whole thing. And it's not because they're Jewish, but because they are involved in the occult. And that is what people have to understand, what motivates this whole movement. Knowingly or unknowingly is the occult desire to bring about a world government and destroy Christianity, because, of course, the occult forces worship Lucifer. Then it's Gnosticism. And look up Gnosticism. If we could get people to begin to understand that the faith of today, unfortunately, growing across America, is the faith of Gnosticism, where we will begin to meditate, to come into a personal relationship with the great architect of the universe, or call it what it will. But basically, it is all about, of course, turning away from the scriptures and embracing this new religion that can give you great wealth and great power and great fame. And an awful lot of people have done it. If you haven't seen that, DVDs on They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, put up by our friend.
Yeah, okay, I saw that before. Yeah.
What did you think of that, Terry?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty meticulous.
And
certainly
very convincing of the fact that many of these people have given themselves to the dark side.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, fine. Well, we think we're getting a new caller here. If you're out there and you have a call, any question at all for Terry, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. In fact, I'll never forget on 60 Minutes hearing Bob Dylan. He was being asked basically what he thought about why he was still on the road. You know, you've been on the road doing these tours for 30 years. Why are you still doing it? He said, I made a bargain. And the fellow said, well, who'd you make a bargain with? And he said, well, the fellow who runs this world and the other world. And, you know, I actually got the transcript of that. I wanted to be able to sure I could quote
what
it correctly.
What show was that on?
That was 60 Minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
So, I mean, you know, that was very revealing. I'm sure that one person in 10,000 picked up what he was really saying. I made a deal. You know, I have to keep on the road. Well, who'd you make the deal with?
I think his son's a Christian.
What?
I think his son's a Christian.
He may very well be, but this is what he said. Anyway, we'll be back here. Oh, somebody could call in, wanted the name of the book. It's Perfectibilis, and if you want to get it, give us a call. We'll order it from Trine Day. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. We'll give you the price on it. I really should have made arrangements to carry the book. I think it's an important addition to our armamentarium, and we'll be right back. Well, Terry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, I'm just happy. I'm glad you wanted to have me on.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and
and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Enjoyed our conversation with Terry, and we will be carrying the book, and I think it's an important addition to what we have, and I think it's very, very worthwhile, and certainly the book is not that expensive, and so you get it by calling 1-800-544-8927, and we will get the book ordered. We don't have it in stock, but we will have it in stock because we work very closely with Trinday, and they put out some excellent books. There's one on Watergate. There's one by John Loftus, and there are half a dozen others we really need, of course, to get and make available to you. Because certainly books are the lead to an understanding of what's going on, and there's so many people out there doing research, but they're going to get the conspiracy of silence or maybe the 30-second appearance on Sean Hannity. Now, if you really want to see how it all fits together, let me suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Brotherhood of Darkness will give you an excellent overview of what's going on today. We actually carry the DVDs by Bill Schneblin, who was in the upper echelons of this occult movement. It's called the Illuminati, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We carry certainly the DVDs and book on, the DVD on Lucifer's Children. We think it's important because that's really what it's all about. The force behind this is frank Luciferianism. And basically, of course, we have the book Satanic Crimes, and we have a 4-tape set on Satanic Crimes. It goes into the Bilderbergers and goes into their involvement in pedophilia. We have the Franklin Scandal, talks about this pedophilic group started in Boys Town and went right into the White House. Let me repeat that. The book is called The Franklin Scandal, and it's about this group. With strong spiritual ties, that had a pedophile network, and they were taking these boys out of Boys Town, and they were actually taking them to Washington, D.C., and, of course, right into the White House itself. And, of course, this had to be covered up. It could never let the American people understand the degree of evil that really exist today. If you understood that, you can understand why we're sending our boys to fight and bleed and suffer and die in the Middle East today, but never allowed to win the war because, of course, who's funding the Taliban? Who is funding, of course, Al-Qaeda? You can't have operations like that without funding. Well, we know that the Bank of London's doing that because Lord James, on the 3rd or 4th of November of this month, of this year, got up in the House of Lords, and we have the article out of the Belfast Telegram. You can get it on the Internet, and we'll be glad to send it to you. Lord James talked about sending billions of pounds. He had sent billions of pounds to the terrorists in Ireland. That's the IRA for killing British citizens. They were funded by the Bank of London. And then, of course, to North Africa. Well, that's Al-Qaeda. And he was sending billions of pounds to Al-Qaeda. Somebody has to finance the people who are killing our boys. Of course, the CIA works very closely with Pakistani ISI. And, of course, they are the ones who are funding the Al-Qaeda who are killing our boys. It's like Vietnam all over again. Well, we funded the Russians. The Russians funded the North Vietnamese. The North Vietnamese funded the Viet Cong. We're killing our boys. And, of course, we would not allow a part of our military to stop the military supplies coming in because if we did that, we wouldn't have been able to continue the war for 10 long years. Vietnam, North Vietnam, is a country about the size of the state of Mississippi. And for 10 long bloody years, they were able to fight America. How do you think a country the size of the state of Mississippi could stand against the most powerful nation in the world? Well, of course, it was all a make-believe war. And those boys, courageous boys, thinking they were fighting for America, were being betrayed by our leaders. They wanted the war so they could change America, and it was during those years they took God and prayer out of our schools. It was during those years that they passed the Roe versus Wade. It was during those years that they centralized all power in Washington, D.C. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty for provision and protection, and have a wonderful and joyous Christmas. And remember the reason for the season. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lynn Marzulli, one of our favorite guests. And Lynn's an ordained minister, but he gave up a post with a very large church because he wanted to be on the front lines warning the American people about what's going on, about the spiritual battle that's being fought today. And, of course, we see manifestations of it all the time, but we really don't understand what's going on. mean, certainly some of the terrible acts of wanton and unexplainable violence. I mean, why would anybody suddenly walk into a restaurant and, you know, with some sort of a bomb and blow themselves up just so they could kill 20 or 30 or 50 people? Why would anybody do that? Well, it's just organized evil. And when you understand that, it begins to make sense. But we have so many manifestations of this today. And, well, without further ado, Lynn Marzulli, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Dr. Stan. Thanks for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, of course, we've enjoyed very much. We've watched your DVD on The Watchers, and we've actually sold a fair number of those. That's really, I think you did an excellent job.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We're working on number two as we speak.
All right, fine. Well, what's that one going to involve?
Well, this one's going to be based on the book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, that you carry. Certainly an abridged version of that, because that takes 5 hours with a PowerPoint presentation, but there's so much going on right now. We've been talking about, you know, we had so many ideas what should be the second Watchers DVD, and my partner Richard today said, why don't we do one on PP&S, Politics, Prophecy, and Supernatural? And we both looked at each other and said, wow, with all the stuff going on in the world, it's just a natural. I mean, you know, hopefully by the time we get this thing done, it'll still be, I mean, the news is just changing so quickly. We look at what's going on in North Korea and South Korea, obviously the Middle East is ready to blow. Then you get the natural stuff like, is the Gulf Stream really stalled? Is that why we're looking at all this crazy weather, rains in California, blizzards and coldest temperatures in the UK? I mean, 5 feet of snow in Colorado. It's alarming what's going on, and it's global. And then, of course, you look at where it may go economically with the collapse of the dollar. By the way, keep your eye on the Iraqi currency, the dinar. I've been doing a little bit of research on that, and very, very interesting how the same people that started the Federal Reserve in this country, after we went in and ousted Saddam, the Iraqi dinar was devalued. I think at one point it was like 3-1, and it was devalued to 3,000-1. That's just completely off the charts, just worthless paper.
It just wiped out, in other words, the same life savings of all these people there in Iraq.
So Chase went in and basically started like a Federal Reserve, and the new currency is they spent, I mean, millions on this currency. It's just paper, but it's basically pretty much counterfeit-proof. I mean, they went through great lengths to keep this thing counterfeit. So anyway, my sources are saying that the dinar is going to revalue itself fairly soon, probably after the dollar collapses. This could be the new currency. Who knows?
Well, Sydney's basically, if you want to destroy a nation, you destroy the value of its currency. That's
Bingo.
What they're doing in the United States. That's what they did in Iraq, and then you start in all over again.
Yep.
And ladies and gentlemen, people have to understand that there are people who hate America, and some of them are working at the highest levels of our government. There's no reason for what's going on today. You can give the people all the money you want to go out and buy, but it's not going to get new jobs in the United States. Why? Because most of the things they're buying at Walmart and elsewhere are made overseas. I mean, certainly, how many jobs do you think you're going to get here in America producing televisions, DVDs, iPods? They're all made in China. And they're doing this very intentionally. We'll be back here in just a moment with Lynn Marzulli. Go right ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, it's, you know, you talk about all the offshore jobs and how the manufacturing in America really doesn't, you know, what do we manufacture? We've become a nation that is more, and I write this in a new book that I'm going to publish probably in March. It's called The Cosmic Chess Match, but it's just one of those little poignant, pithy lines that every now and then an author comes, you know, it kind of spills out, and I just stared at the page and went, wow, this is profound. But it's true, and it's simply this, that our children know more about Nostradamus and the 2012 prophecies than they do the prophecies of Daniel and Ezekiel. And it's just, I mean, that just put the whole thing in perspective to me. Our children know more about 2012 and the prophecies of Nostradamus than they do about the prophecies in the Bible of Daniel and Ezekiel.
But, of course, they're seeing this on the History Channel over and over and over again.
Yeah,
History
is.
Channel, Discovery Channel. They keep coming back to this Nostradamus, Nostradamus. And then they got this this Irish priest, you know, who doesn't believe in the Bible, doesn't believe in God.
Yeah.
He's always coming on as the expert on Christianity. Totally, I mean, you would think that people would realize, of course, this... History Channel and Discovery Channel, they got an agenda, and they want
Absolutely.
To destroy Christianity. They're doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I, you know, fool me twice, you know, shame on me. But it's I got fooled twice. I went into the History Channel and did the first session, and they, you know, said, you know, L.A., come back and do it. You know, we really want to do this thing on the Book of Enoch, and I've watched the segment, and I'm on there a little bit more, and it does open doors, and it gets me out there. I understand that, but I mean, it is. They have an agenda. Prometheus Entertainment. Is there any wonder where they're going with all this?
Right.
And it's just unbelievable how they actually took some of the points that I made, and instead of having me make them, they had the announcer make them, and they took them verbatim. Someone, you know, wrote, listened to what I said, wrote it down, and then the announcer was saying it while they were showing different things, and they make sure. That whenever I come on, they'll cut it off just before I'm really going to make the point against where they're going. I think I might be the only voice in this 20-hour second season that's an opposing voice, which is why I'm hardly ever seen. But when I am there, I mean I made a couple of points, but you know that's just in the mix of everyone else. That it's amazing. They take the Bible and they'll go, well, what angels really are extraterrestrials, and they just make that jump and make that assumption with absolutely zero proof, just because they say so.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lynn was just talking about his experience on the Discovery Channel or History Channel?
History Channel.
Well, that was the one I was on, that they gave me all of 20 seconds or something like that. But anyway, of course, you don't expect a fair shake, and basically I should have been smart enough not to have gone on, but basically at least I got a chance to profess my personal belief in the validity of the scriptures, and then, of course, then they took out and just to ridicule me for believing, you know, in the validity of the scriptures. But of course, that's the very essence of the foundation of our belief.
You know, and I agree. I saw that segment, and I thought you hit a home run. I thought you did great. But what amazed me was, it's like these three people that are supposed to be the investigators, and all they are, I mean, you know, it's central casting, and they go there. These people, they have no bond with each other, and the casting selects these people, and they all have different worldviews. And you can see that it's like the natural man does not understand the things of the spirit. And so, Dr. Stan, when you're talking about New York City and the Statue of Liberty and Nimrod and Semiramis and, you know, this is Mystery Babylon, they're looking at you like you're from another planet.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, I tracked with you 100%, and I was applauding. Go, you know, because it's like you're telling the truth, and these people are clueless. Because the natural man cannot understand the things of the spirit, which are supernatural.
Well, you know, the amazing thing is, if you stop and you really think about the supernatural, why, I mean, how could this really be true? And yet, of course, you and I know it's true because we see actual manifestations of it, as you point out on your excellent DVD. The Watchers, how do you explain the cattle mutilations?
Yeah.
How do you explain the crop circles? How do you explain the alien implants? You can look at them. They're real. They've been taken out of these people who say they've been, suddenly abducted. Thousands of people. I think it was Dr. John Mark back at Harvard that had something like 5,000 people who said they'd been abducted by aliens. Now, that's not very many out of a world population of 6.5 billion people. But, I mean, these are not imaginary things. And there are so many manifestations of the supernatural, and we've got so many programs on now trying to just confuse us about that. I mean, we've got the event, and these people come from another planet there. And then we've got the fringe, and there's this other dimension, which is a duplicate of this dimension, but there's certain people who go back and forth. There is another dimension, but it is that spiritual dimension where the great battle is being fought between the forces of good and evil that is being played out here on Earth, I believe.
You know, what amazes me is you know, I was on Coast to Coast last night, and I was talking to George Norrie, and George is on, you know, obviously the host of Coast to Coast, but he has a lot of footage in the Ancient Aliens. History Channel's production, And we were talking about that. You know, we were talking about the Watchers TV and why we made Watchers. We made Watchers because we, at least we can get the word out what we believe. And it is episodic, and we'll be doing more of these. The first one is there's not a lot of scripture in it. We really don't tip our hand. We're just trying to wake up people to the fact that something is going on. But, you know, George kept pressing me. It's like, well, you know, do you really believe in the Bible? I mean, do you really think it couldn't, could it in fact, you know, be E.T. that did this and our ancestors just didn't know? And I always just point back to prophecy and I say, look, we've got this prophetic word. It's the only book on the planet that has this kind of prophetic message from Genesis to Revelation. There was no other book on this planet that has the specificity that the Bible has, which calls out things well in ahead, well in advance, a priori, well in advance of when they happen. And God says, I am God and God alone. I alone can call out the beginning before the end and the end before the beginning. He alone knows it. And that's what makes him unique, that infinite mind. And it's like, I mean, when you present that to people, their argument just collapses. It falls of its own weight. Because what can they say? It's like you point to all these prophecies. Now, are you trying to tell me that this is all some sort of alien conspiracy? Of course not. They're saying the prophecies warn us of this coming great deception. And that's, you know, and George has no answer to that. When you present the evidence to these people, they have, they're, it's like a house of cards. Their whole paradigm just falls of its own weight in light of the scripture.
Well, basically, of course, there are a lot of people out there. I know that Jordan Maxwell, he's had Jordan on many times, and Jordan is a disciple of Manly P. Hall. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Jordan believes in AO, that there are these spiritual forces out there. Oh, but he thinks that they're good spiritual forces, and these are great writers who really explain the mysteries of the universe. And basically, Manly Hall did have an explanation for everything. But it was, of course, in the occult worldview. And you have the occult worldview, you have the Christian worldview. And certainly if you look and see what was written 2,000 years ago, you see this thing coming to pass today. I mean, there's no way that all of the prophecies concerning the reconstitution of Israel could simply all be by chance, or this idea of a casteless society. Could you imagine, then, I mean, 2,000 years ago, talking about a casteless society where everybody would be numbered and you'd have to have a number before you could, suddenly buy or sell? I mean, certainly, remember, 140 years ago, the major means of transportation was still the horse. and look where we are today. Look
exactly.
The amazing things that have happened. And the prophecies, we have a wonderful series called The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone on DVD, as he goes point by point by point through the scriptures and through the prophecies. And they're all coming to pass today. This didn't happen by chance. Statistically, I mean, if you looked at the chances of this, why, you know, you'd have about 150 zeros, you know, to one that this could have happened by chance.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is happening. There is a plan. It's a master plan. It's being fulfilled today. And the other people, of course, get to try to come up with explanations. Oh, these UFOs are from outer space, you know, and that's where we came from. Where's your proof of it? I mean, where, you know, can you verify any of this? Certainly there's so much verification for this, for the Holy Scriptures. I mean, they stand alone. They've stood alone for the better part of 2,000 years.
And it's interesting how the attack has come, really, and a vigorous attack since Darwinism. I mean, in the new book I'm working on, The Cosmic Chess Match, I really point to Darwin as a tool. I'm not saying he was a Satanist, but he certainly was a tool of the enemy, because Darwinism is now taught on a global level. Darwinism, in my opinion, is responsible indirectly for the Holocaust and what happened in 1917 in the gulags of the Soviet Union and in the gulags of the Chinese. That there is no God if we just somehow ascended from apes and primordial slime. There are no absolutes. There is no right or wrong. There is no up or down, no judgment. Life is meaningless, and the state will decide who lives, who dies, and what is pertinent. And what is true? The state will decide that. And that's why, you know, you can murder 70 million of your own people, which is what Stalin did, about 60 million in the gulags, 70 million in the Chinese gulags. I mean, I rattle off those numbers, and they're mind-numbing. They are mind-numbing to think about. Think about the 20 million Ukrainians that were starved, or the 1.5 million Armenians that were marched to death, or the Hutu and the Tutsis that slaughtered each other. what, a million there, 3 million under Pol Pot, and on it goes. And the genocide here in this country against the Native Americans, you know, the March of Tears, and on it goes. It's just the moment we deviate from the God of the Bible and the idea that all men are created equal and we are made in the image and likeness of God, the moment we move from that, okay, well, you're not really made in the image and likeness of God. I don't like the way you look. I think I'm going to have to put you in a concentration camp. And this is, unfortunately, in my opinion, where the United States of America is rushing towards. The TSA pat-downs, I mean, you know, what's-his-face on Fox News, which I don't, you know, it is what it is. But Judge Napolitano seems like a really straight-ahead guy. And his book is called America, you know, the Land of the Sheep, something like that. And a Nation of Sheep, and he's right. I mean, the fact that TSA is sitting there in an airport and sexually molesting people, because that's what it is. I mean, you know, they're touching your genitalia. Let's just say it for what it is, on the air. That's what's going on here. And the American people act like it's no big deal. Honey, how's the pot roast coming? Who won Dancing with the Stars? Gee, I miss American Idol. I wonder what Simon Cowell's doing. Hey, did you hear Lindsay Mike, you know, punch some guard out in rehab, and on it goes. And meanwhile, the real issues, Americans should be in the streets over this thing, literally. You know, peaceful protest. I'm not advocating violence, obviously. But where is the outrage, you know, for this complete encroachment on our liberties? And it's like, you know, why don't, if you're going to do anything, why not profile where the so-called suicide bombers reside? I mean, let's face it. If we're going to profile anything, profile that instead of some little 8-year-old that they make the guy take his shirt off. You know, it's just, I can't believe it. These American people don't, you know, we haven't just stood up and stopped the madness, and that's what we need to do.
Well, of course, the whole thing about the TSA pat-downs or sexual molestation is it's justified by the fact that they're protecting us from the wicked terrorists. And as I simply point out, look, I mean, do you really believe that they honestly believe there's a threat of terrorism? How many terrorist attacks have there, legitimate terrorist attacks, have there been in America? How many Americans have been killed by terrorists since we started this war? If there is really, of course, a terrorist threat, they would have sealed the southern border on the 12th of September, and they didn't. And any certainly self-respecting terrorist could walk across the border with a knapsack full of explosives and go into a mall or go to a football game and kill a lot of Americans. Why hasn't it happened? Because it's all a fraud, and people have to only look and watch Building 7 come down to know that that was a controlled demolition.
Absolutely.
And basically Absolutely. What we need to do, I really think, Lynn, is to go on the attack with these people and simply say, look, this whole thing is ridiculous. You know that there is no terrorist threat. And you're trying to convince us it is by molesting these people sexually. We know that this whole idea of putting in the scanners already came about because of the underwear bomber. The underwear bomb could not have gone off. This poor kid, somebody made a bomb and told him it would go off. All you had to do was light the fuse. You can't set off these sort of plastic explosives with a fuse. You have to have blasting caps. So this whole thing was designed because they already had the scanners in warehouses. They were waiting for an excuse to put it in. And as soon as the underwear bomber story came out, immediately they had the scanners. I mean, I wonder how they were able to just get those all built within 40 or 80 or 72 hours.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. Yeah, we'll be back in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Lynn, you go right ahead, but I'm just really pleased that you got on to George Norrie.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty.
We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
To Crumble on 60 Minutes this last weekend. They had Meredith Whitney there. And Meredith's talking about the fact that basically many of our states, many of our cities, many of our counties, many of our various boards, whether it be school board or fire board, they're all living on borrowed money, and they're not going to be able to repay their debts. And they are going to end up going bankrupt. And when that does, of course, this whole house of cards comes down.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, we have, if you go up on the Internet, you can type in, IMF warns government's $10.2 trillion. They're going to have to borrow $10.2 trillion this coming year. 15 countries are going to have to borrow $10.2 trillion to actually go ahead and to fund their debt, what money they have to borrow, and then, of course, the maturing bonds. So that basically, there's only about $60 trillion in the world, and they're going to take $10.2 trillion just to pay interest on the debts and get the new bonds, financed. We're talking about potential for defaults all across the world. And people can't understand the whole monetary system is built upon trust. And when countries begin to default, why then other people panic and they say, we're not going to lend our money unless we pay, you know, more interest. We want 10%. We want 20% interest. We want 30% interest. We want to be able to protect our investment. And when this whole happens, the whole financial structure begins to come down. And I think that's going to be happening either this year or the I'm talking about 2011 or the year after that. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I would be amazed if we're talking this time next year and we haven't had some sort of major economic upheaval. Is it national? Is it global? Is it a combination of both? I don't know. I'm not a soothsayer or a prognosticator in that respect. But, you know, I look at what's going on with Ireland, Portugal, Spain, Greece, the UK, the unrest, you know, Prince Charles in his vintage Rolls Royce with his wife Camilla after he got Princess Diane killed, but we won't get into that because that's too much of a conspiratologist deal. But, you know, he's riding through the crowd, you know, the rabble in London, and they're pelting him with eggs and stuff. It's like people, you know, it's like this guy is an elite, he's entitled, it's royalty, and people are going, I can't even get an education now. It's like, you know, what is going on here? Well, wake up, folks. It's coming here. It's coming here. This whole thing of American Idol and Lindsay Lohan and the Fox News, you know, culture warriors, where these two women are labeled the culture warriors on the Bill O'Reilly show, it's embarrassing. I mean, these are culture warriors? Excuse me. I mean, it's just, it's pabble. Pabble. Excuse me. It's just ridiculous what passes as so-called news. It's entertainment. It's not news at all. And so America is just being lulled to sleep. Meanwhile, the debt mounts and mounts and mounts. And the Federal Reserve, which has nothing to do with our government, an international private banking cartel, which now controls our government, thank you very much, is just printing more and more and more paper money backed up by absolutely doodly-squat nothing. At some point, I agree, Dr. Stan, the thing is going to come down. And what's interesting is, you know, you can buy all the gold in the world you want, and at some point, when everything gets reset, fine, if you can make it through that. But when the trucks stop rolling, can you imagine if, like, just let's walk through a scenario. There's just one scenario, okay? There's countless scenarios, but this is just one. And it's an interesting one. We know that the lifeblood of this planet is oil. I mean, you can't debate that. Everything runs on petrol fuel. Everything does. It's our whole modern existence runs on oil. Everything is on oil. Well, if there's a war in the Middle East, the first thing that the Iranians will do is close the two choke points, one in the Red Sea and one in the Persian Gulf. The Straits of Hormuz is in the Persian Gulf, the Gate of Tyrs in the in the Red Sea. They close those two checkpoints with a radiological bomb or whatever, and, you know, oil now is $90 a barrel. We're looking at, you know, $200, $300 a barrel. $15, $20 at the pump, that's if you can get it. What if there's an EMP bomb that's exploded over this country? It knocks us back into the Stone Age, where none of the electrical circuits will work. This is what we're faced with. The trucks stop rolling, the food stops going, the refrigerators won't work. I mean, wake up, folks. Wake up.
And I think, basically, Chris, we've interviewed Lindsay Williams. A couple of weeks ago, he called me and told me about his recent conversations where these people who really are tied into the oil industry, I know who these people are. I've talked to this gentleman who's informing him now, myself. And basically, of course, Lindsay said that oil was about $82 or $83 now. A barrel at that time is up to over $90 now, but they told him it was going up to $150 to $200 barrel here within the next few months. Next 6 months, and I really believe it's going to happen. Do you know what's going to happen then? Through the cost of things that are brought in by truck, do you know what's going to happen to the airlines? Do you know what's going to go to the plastic business and the paint business?
Boom.
We'll be right back here.
Collapse.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Tony in San Jose. Hi, Tony. How are you doing? Oh, I guess we haven't pushed the button there. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, Dr. Stan. Fine.
Are you all set for Christmas?
Oh, I don't think I ever ever am.
All right, fine.
I've been doing quite a bit of research lately on this one character. I hope this is something that maybe either one of you can comment on. This fellow named Nicholas Roerich. And he was sort of a, I know you know a little bit about him, Dr. Sam, but I was wondering if Lynn does. He was sort of a mystic that was behind Henry Wallace and was kind of behind getting the pyramid and eye on the dollar bill. And he's a really interesting character, whether you love him or hate him. But one of the things that he was involved with was something called the Sintamani Stone. And the occultists that, like, really revere this statue of him where he's holding this box and it's supposed to be like a piece of rock from Sirius or something like that. And it's really kind of an in-depth thing. I was just wondering if Lynn knew anything about that.
Do you know anything at all about the Nicholas Roerich?
Is he the guy that actually, like you mentioned this earlier, is he the actual guy that designed, he was also a Mason, am I right with that?
I don't know if he was a Mason. Basically, there's an excellent treatise on that, on the third part of the series of the Secret Mystery DVDs. It's called The Eye of the Phoenix, and there's a large segment. Tony, have you seen that that DVD that we offer?
The Eye of the Phoenix? That.
What?
I don't think so.
All right, it's well worthwhile watching because it's got a significant section on Nicholas Roerich. And certainly he was a key player, certainly back there in the first half of the 20th century. He had a profound impact on Henry Wallace. In fact, Henry certainly made the mistake of writing a letter to Nicholas Roerich. We started out, Dear Guru, and of course somebody got hold of the letter. And it was so embarrassing that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did not ask him to run for the vice presidency the next time. In other words, it was in 1944 when, of course, Henry Wallace replaced him. Harry Truman replaced him. Henry Wallace was the vice president, and he would have become the president of the United States when FDR died, had it not been for his writing that letter, starting out, Dear Guru.
Hold
that thought for just a moment here, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Tony calling from San Jose and was asking about Nicholas Roerich, who was a mystic, certainly had a profound impact on the whole of occult world during the first half of the last century. And he was very close to Henry Wallace during the 1930s. And Henry Wallace was the Secretary of Agriculture who got the occult emblem on the back of the dollar, the bill, the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye. And then, of course, Henry Wallace had written a letter to Roerich entitled Dear Guru, and somebody got hold of that and popularized it, which is why FDR chose Harry Truman to run for the vice presidency in 1944 rather than the sitting vice president, who was Henry Wallace. So, Tony, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, I'm just really curious about this stone that he had.
Nobody really knows whether it was real or not. It may very well have been real. It may have been contrived. We don't know what that stone was. It was in a little box, and people paid a lot of attention to it. He made a lot of fuss about it, but was it some sort of mystical force, or was it all a charade? We don't know.
Well, interesting.
Well, there was a building that was built on Manhattan.
For him.
Roerich.
It's still there.
Yeah, and then there was, like, all these world leaders came to when they put the cornerstone on the building, and then I guess Roerich's wife had written a letter and it described the contents, and she'd written about this stone, and it was like a green meteorite, and supposedly it was like part of that stone they have in Mecca that Muslims all worship.
Except that was black. Well, anyway, Tony, we can't tell you anything about it. It's fascinating, and it's certainly part of history, and most people never hear about it because they don't.
I just Googled them, Dr. Stan. I'm looking at them right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Tony, well, thank you so much. Anything else you want to say?
Merry Christmas.
Well, I was just wondering what you guys knew about it. I mean, I've been trying to dig a little bit more into it.
Well, if you find out anything, you let us know, but I don't know whether it's real or all make-believe. But your story is right. The question is, can we trust Nicholas Rourke? Well,
certainly the people who were around him certainly did believe.
Oh, of course they did. And he had a powerful influence. He was very much like Colonel House, you know. Of course, when Colonel House died about 1936-37, at this point, when Rourke was beginning to get more and more influence. Anyway, God bless and have a wonderful Christmas, Tony.
Oh, you too, and to all you, everybody listening.
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, before we go on, first of all, we'll put out our telephone number one more time. It's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com, and our telephone number here in the Central Coast of California is 464-8295. That's here, a local call, 464-8295. But before we go on, Lynn, I want you, of course, to get your webpage out there. Now, we do carry your books, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, The Alien Interviews, book, Sydney, on the
Nephilim Trilogy.
The Nephilim Trilogy, and Sydney, we carry your DVD on The Watchers, which I'm amazed that thing has moved as well as it has. But
We're selling a lot of them, yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, I'm glad. Of course, it helps Radio Liberty, but it helps Lynn, too, because, of course, he's just full-time trying to be the watchman on the wall, getting the message out. How can people get to your website? And get your newsletter, too.
It's just at www.lamarzulli.net. Takes you right there. I blog 6 days a week. That's lamarzulli.wordpress.com.
Well, there's certainly no shortage of things to talk about today. I mean, basically, we're facing a catastrophic event suddenly over there in the Middle East. Why there? Well, we know that the Muslims have somewhere between 45,000 and 100,000 weapons and missiles, and many of them will have certainly chemical or biological warfare heads, and they're all aimed at Israel.
Uh-huh.
Is God going to allow certainly Israel to be destroyed? We just don't know.
Well, in my opinion, Israel will not be destroyed. Israel, we know Ezekiel 38:39, God will intervene. We're told in prophecy that once he regathers them from the four corners of the earth and reestablishes them in their ancient country, which has happened, 1948, never again will they be pushed back. Never again. So once again, we see this as the whole idea of the cosmic chess match between the fallen cherub, Satan, and the Most High God. And what we see here is this push and pull, move and counter move. So from the ashes of the Holocaust, which were basically, if Hitler could wipe out every Jew, the fallen one would have won the chess match, proved God a liar, Israel never would have been reborn, God's a liar, Satan wins, the earth is enslaved forever. Of course, that's not what happened. And out of that, the horrors and the ashes of the Holocaust come the rebirth of Israel. That's Ezekiel 37 and other prophecies which talk about the rebirth of Israel. Absolutely mind-boggling. And now we see, in my opinion, what's forming is the Ezekiel 38:39 prophecy that is, in fact, just tonight the Iranians sent over experts to look at Hezbollah's fortifications, the way they're placing their armor, the rockets, the whole deal. I mean, this thing is ratcheting up. Here's another scenario. So we're talking about scenarios, but this Mideast war. If the Ayafala Hoka volcano blows, and I just read a story this morning that all of a sudden, more seismic activity with Ayafala Hoka. Is it going to blow again? Will Katla blow? Will this third volcano blow? We don't know. But we know that the last time the Ayafala Hoka volcano blew, that the ash cloud descended over Europe and grounded planes for about a week. Well, if this thing goes again and it's more, and that ash cloud gets down to the Middle East, it will ground the Israeli Air Force. That's the perfect time to strike. If you're bent, hell-bent, literally, on wiping Israel off the face of the map because you can't see straight and you're completely crazed, then that's the time you strike. And, you know, that's what we could be looking at. That's certainly a scenario.
Yes, it certainly is. And, of course, I don't believe God is going to allow Israel to be destroyed. I believe that there is, in fact, my personal belief, and I may be entirely wrong on this, But I believe that they have a laser-based atom missile system. It's called Nautilus. And we've actually, there was one article in Jerusalem Post, and we've talked to a fellow who used to work for Israeli intelligence, Avi Lifkin, and he's told me several years ago about the Nautilus being deployed, but it's top secret. And then he told me simply within a few months ago exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. And this is deployed both on ground and by 747. And, of course, I don't know how this would be affected by all that ash in the air, but certainly if they have a clear day, why, I think that they would have an excellent chance of bringing down all 100,000 of those. I mean, this is amazing technology that we have today. Well, certainly, but there's so many flashpoints in the world, whether it be an attack on Israel, whether it be an attack on Iran, whether it be some sort of a feigned staged terrorist attack on the United States or Europe. We just don't know. But we do know that this whole thing is being orchestrated, that very little as it appears to be, we do know without any hesitation that what happened on September 11th was a controlled demolition of both the Twin Towers and, of course, the Building 7. Right. And if that is the case, then the murderers are still on the loose, and, of course, they're in key positions in government today, or maybe they left office with the Bush administration. We don't know. But what we need is an independent evaluation, an independent investigation, and we're not going to get one. Well, let's quickly go to Jack, who's calling. Hi, Jack. Do you have a question along the line we're talking?
Oh, this is Jeff.
Okay, go ahead. What's your name?
Jeff.
Oh, Jeff, okay, they got you listed as Jack. Okay, Jeff, good to have you with us. Where are you calling from?
From Lansing, Michigan.
All right, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Kind of on a different subject than what you were just talking about, but I agree with what you were just saying. And the ramifications of that are, like, mind-boggling, and that's why nobody wants to face it, I'm sure.
Bingo.
But on a different subject, I was looking online, and I saw something by Dr. David Jacobs. He's
right.
a UFO and
I know
abduction.
Who he is.
Okay.
Right.
And he did say that his research took a turn when he started to see a common thread throughout all the interviews he was doing. And in terms of how these aliens, I guess, are trying to take, you know, the reproductive system of these human beings and, you know, basically create hybrids and intermingle those hybrids with the general population of the earth. And I started thinking about that, and I noticed that in the Bible it says that, in for example, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about the man of lawlessness, referring to the Antichrist. But then when it gets to Revelation 13, it says that he saw a beast, and then he also saw a second beast. And what I'm looking at is there some connection between that? Could this Antichrist be both man and beast in terms of, you know, in light of the whole hybrid thing?
All right, fine. Jeff, pardon me, Lynn, what do you think? Could it be the Antichrist will be some sort of a hybrid?
Yeah, basically, this is what I write about and constantly warn people of. There is a breeding program. It mirrors Genesis 6. I've written books on this, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, Nephilim Trilogy, The Alien Interviews. I blog about it constantly, incessantly. I've interviewed Dr. Jacobs. In fact, he's one of the men that I interviewed for the Alien Interview book. You might want to pick that up and check that out.
We do carry the book, Jeff.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Called The Alien Interviews, and you'll see the interview there with Dr. Jacobs. But go right ahead.
And what this all goes back to, in my opinion, Jeff, is Genesis 6. In other words, we're looking at the fallen angels doing what they did thousands of years ago. They are taking the women. There is a breeding program. They are procreating. They're creating these modern Nephilim hybrids, and they are integrating them back into the population. Here's the kicker. Can a hybrid be saved? And in my opinion, the answer to that, and there's people who disagree with that, that's fine. You know, we have an intellectual discussion here, but hybrids are the soulless ones, in my opinion. They are the soulless ones. Otherwise, if the fallen one, if Satan can somehow reproduce life
and breathe that life and create a soul in the same way God can, then that makes him an equal. He can imitate it, but he can't create man. He can't do it, in my opinion. So the hybrids, I think, are the soulless ones, and I do agree with you. I think that the Antichrist and the false prophet, when it talks about the beast, these are Nephilim hybrids. And when we look at the judgment that happens for these Nephilim, the false prophet and the Antichrist, they are thrown immediately into the lake of fire. There is no equivocation on the part of the Most High God. Boom, they're in the lake of fire, just like that.
And I think, Jeff, if we talk about UFOs, there's only two possibilities. Either they are extraterrestrial, or they are supernatural and from the other dimension. And, of course, even Jacques Bellay, who is, of course, not a Christian at all, not a God-fearing man, but having studied them for many years, an expert on the whole subject of UFOs, he came to the conclusion they were metaphysical. In other words, they were a spiritual entity. And so these are exciting times when you know the Lord, because all these things begin to fit together. And certainly, it could very well be that the Antichrist will be one of these half-spiritual, half-human, as it were. Anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
No, just I appreciate the clarification on that. And, I guess we just got to keep our eyes open.
And, of course, and keep looking to the Lord, because that's the only thing that's going to sustain us. Really, we're facing some terrible, terrible times. And I feel so sorry for people who don't know the Lord, because their hearts are going to fail. I mean, they're going to be filled with fear. And what we're doing, what Lynn's doing, what I'm doing, where is the watchman trying to say, hey, don't you realize the enemy's here? God bless, and thanks so much. Have a wonderful Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas.
And
Merry
you too.
Christmas.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Bronco, who's calling us from Marino. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Bronco. How are you doing?
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Stan and Mr. Marzulli.
Right.
Merry Christmas to both of you. And
Merry Christmas, sir.
I do enjoy your program a lot. I would just like to make a comment going backwards to the previous topic about Israel. You know, the Bible says that nobody comes to the Father but through the Son. And I wonder if you make a quick interview in Israel, how many people in Israel do believe in Jesus? I have talked to a few Orthodox who claim that to them Jesus was nothing but a common criminal, that he never actually died on the cross, and so on and so forth. So my point is, what would be the inclination of God to have a favor upon Israel when the end of the times comes, since they do not accept, even that they do not accept Jesus as his ransom and so on.
Okay, Lynn, how would you answer, Bronco? Because it's a very legitimate question. I mean, why would God have put these people over there when so many of them, the Israeli, the rabbis, don't believe in Jesus Christ? Why would he have put them there then at this time in history?
Well, what we're dealing with is the 70th year of Daniel. And when we look at the prophecy of Daniel, we read that 70 weeks are determined for you and your people before the Messiah is ushered in. The Messiah is cut off. The Messiah was cut off 2,000 years ago. We know that. He was cut off. And then, you know, the diaspora happens, and the Jews are scattered, four corners of the earth, and they come back. We are ramping up towards this unfulfilled 70th week of Daniel, which we call the seven-year tribulation. The bottom line is this. At some point in time, this is a prophecy. Who is they? The nation of Israel. They will look on him. Who is the him? Yeshua, Jesus. They will look on him whom they have pierced and mourn for him as an only son. That's the prophecy. At some point in time, the light bulb goes off, and it's like it literally is the prodigal son story all over again. It really, what we're looking at, it's a national prodigal son, and they look at him whom they have pierced, who they cried out 2,000 years ago, his blood be upon us and upon our children. That blood curse was pronounced over the nation of Israel, and so it was. The temple was torn down. A million Jews were killed when Titus came down in AD 70. They were scattered to the four corners of the world, but now they are back in their ancient homeland. And at some point, and all those prophecies, the desert blooms, the latter rain falls, the locusts stop coming up and eating the plants, the earthquake stops, and they are dwelling in safety in a land without bars, gates, and walls. That's the prophecy of Ezekiel 38. I mean, that's got to just blow your mind, because the prophet seeing is 2,600 years ago, and 2,600 years ago there was no such thing as an unwalled city. He's seeing so far into the future that it's an absurdity to say, well, I saw this land and there were no walls or bars or gates. What the heck is that? And people would say, that's crazy. That's impossible. You can't live that way. Marauding armies will come and take everything and rape your women, take your kids to slavery, and kill you. But what do we see with the advent of the modern-day airplane? Walls and cities and gates and bars became obsolete. Israel dwells in safety, a land without bars, walls, and here we are in the end times, in my opinion.
Bronco, I mean, I've talked to a number of Jewish people who've had supernatural experiences. They've seen Jesus, or they have visions, or they've become Christians. And this is, I mean, I've never seen this. I've never had a vision. But I will tell you, a number of Jews have, and this is why they've become Christians. And I've talked to other Jews, and they've talked to the Jews who become Christians. They've had the same experience. I think that something major is going to happen one of these days, and they're all going to say, my goodness, we were wrong. He really is the Messiah. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment. Bronco, you have anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
Just hope that you're correct, that they may have a change of heart. And
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Plus financially, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because it's amazing some of the things that have happened, and sometime maybe we'll talk about them, but I know that God's hand is in what we're doing, And hopefully he will continue providing for us. If he doesn't, why, that'll be a different story. But so far he is. I think that we are doing a great job. We're giving people like Lynn Marzulli a voice where they can be heard by our listeners. Of course, he got a tremendous listening audience when he was there with George Norrie. Under any circumstances, why, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do carry Lynn's excellent book, Prophecy, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. His book on the alien interviews. His book on the Nephilim, the trilogy. And then we carry his DVD on the Watchers, which is really quite good. And you'll actually see his interview with a doctor who's removed 16 of the alien implants, the implants that people had after they'd been certainly abducted by these beings. And then, of course, the cattle mutilations. You'll see some examples of that. Not very pretty. But this is not imaginary. It's very real. And there are these manifestations of the supernatural there. He doesn't get into crop circles, but there's no question that these are, some of them, most of them are real. Everything is being done to tell you, oh, these are kids running around out in the fields there in the middle of the night with a rope, and that's what they are, and they're just trampling down the wheat. Ladies and gentlemen, they're doing everything you can so that you will not recognize the supernatural. They even have organizations, the Skeptical Inquirer, and its purpose is to convince you that there is no such thing as the supernatural. Well, those of you who've listened regularly, I've told you about the spoon. It was actually bent by a major general in the military, was part of the Special Forces unit, whose job was to contact the supernatural. And they hired Uri Geller to explain to them how to bend spoons. And this major general, when he went to visit Joyce Riley, took one of her spoons and simply bent it to a complete circle, and I picked up that spoon. And I still have a fair amount of strength in my arms, and there was just no way that was done by a human effort. But of course, they know how to tap into the supernatural. It's real, it's not imaginary. And there's a book written about it called The Men Who Stare at Goats. Well worthwhile, not the greatest book in the world, but goes into the Special Forces unit, whose job is to tap into the supernatural. Now, we do have a book called Alien Intervention on UFOs, and we have, material on the supernatural. We have a 4-tape set on the supernatural. We even have the book written by Joanna Michelson, who appears on that 4-tape set. Her book is The Beautiful Side of Evil. And Joanna was, of course, involved with psychic surgery. She witnessed 400 operations were done by this spiritual healer. I wish she would actually reach into people's abdomens and their heads, and she was right there helping, and she thought this was the most, Joanna thought it was the most wonderful thing in the world, and she actually was being trained to take over as a spiritual healer when this elderly woman passed away. And of course, Joanna thought this was the work of God. Well, it was the work of God, but it wasn't the God of the Bible. And eventually, why, she did begin to understand that this was tapping into this supernatural force, this other dimension. And she eventually, of course, renounced the gift. She went back and tracked down many of the people she'd seen cured. And they were all demonically possessed. So you've got to be very, very careful, ladies and gentlemen, when you're dabbling with the supernatural. But we have a 4-tape set on the supernatural, and we have Joanna's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. Well, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. But please have a wonderful Christmas. Remember, as Lynn said, the reason for the season, and that is the birth of our Savior.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 23 December, Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for caring about your world, caring about Genesis Network, Power Hour. We care about you, and we are just so grateful to have you joining us today. Yes, it is coming into that season. Well, the end of the year coming, and all of us that have been around for this past year and so grateful to be around for the past year are thinking about what the year has brought us, what we're going to be doing next year. Will it be better, worse? I just love listening to CNBC. Well, we know for sure we're going to have a better first quarter financially next year. I'd like to know where they get their information. Anyway, we're going to be talking about lots of stuff here at the Power Hour today. Josh is joining me, and I'm so glad to have him in the studio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here, getting up early in the morning, traipsing the road, and getting over to the Power Hour. Anyway, we will talk to you about your concerns, your issues. What has been important to you? What can you share with others that has been especially important? I know there have been lots of people learning a lot from the Power Hour. I am probably the first one who's learned the most, and I'm so grateful for this information, and we'll continue to do that next year. We want to be there for you. We want to know what it is you need to know, so we're going to ask you that today. What is it you'd like to focus on in the new year? Also personally, and at the Power Hour and the Power Mall, too. What kinds of items do you want us to provide you so that we can win you over and get your business for the Power Hour? If you're watching television, you're hearing about the weather, the really messed up weather. Do you know that they are having the worst weather in the UK now, Josh, than they have had since ever?
No.
Ever recorded weather.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
They talked to all the guys that recorded all the weather way back to when. They say it's the worst since the recording started. Now, we need to look and find out what year that was, maybe, but I can't believe it's so bad. The airports were all closed. In fact, even